Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Wednesday, October 7th. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And after a week break, we are back in studio with our man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church. Wisdom for weird times, making sense of a senseless world. That's how we're going to start our Wednesday show. And then when we wrap up, Brendan Lyons, Republican candidate for Legislative District 9 here for the Arizona House, will be on for his final conversation on the program before the November election, which we have now ticked under 30 days for. So that's our show today. Pastor Jeff, I continue to be amazed in a good way about the positive response we've gotten on this show and in our different networks about our weekly conversations where we take a step back and, again, try to make sense of a senseless world, a bit of a faithful perspective on crazy times. We know people want those few moments to just kind of step back, take a breath, and figure out what's going on and what is life really all about, because these are crazy times.
Sure.
It's been exciting to hear. I know you and I forward things back and forth to each other, and you've got to, that's got to be confirming to you.
Well, I think it's a reflection of the encouragement that we all need right now. I know I'm not beyond that. I think that kind of was actually the impetus for what's being shared today. I think sometimes people look at leaders, whether it's in the faith community or you know, in business or in other parts, you know, in government, and think that people in positions of influence have it together, and we're all susceptible. We're all trying to figure it out right now, right?
Right. So we like to take this time and process through here some of the things that you're processing through with your teams and your congregation over at Hope City Church. Pastor Jeff, what are the Proverbs that we like to focus on? Proverbs, this first segment. What are we looking at today?
Yeah, this is context. Actually, I was thinking probably should have been shared before we delved into this when we started several months ago. It's been 3 months now, but the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1:1-3, begins by saying that this is a book that is from the king himself, and the purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. And the purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. That's Proverbs 1:1-3. So it kind of lays the context for the entire book, but I was just spending some time reflecting on that and thinking, who does not want to be successful? Who does not want to, hopefully, we all are looking for wisdom, but that's not maybe necessarily true right now, but how can we learn from the things that are going on around us and surround ourselves with people, wise counsel, if you will, to help us navigate these crazy times? What does that look like for the people that are listening, for myself as well?
Yeah. There's a few types of people you've mentioned,
right?
And I think you're one of those people, which is fun. When you are looking for that place for advice to go, where do you go?
Well, some of us, you know, we have people that we turn to for spiritual direction, pastor, clergy, rabbi, whomever that person might be, counselors for emotional well-being. You know, hopefully you have a great relationship with family or trusted friend that you can go to for advice. There are coaches that we seek out for help, even when we're trying to work through business dealings. I think it's heartbreaking to imagine, and I myself have been there at certain times where it's like, I'm dealing with this problem. Who can I talk to right now? Hopefully, as you're listening to this, you have someone in mind that you can turn to when you're in a tight spot. I think it's a sad commentary that there are those moments and even those people that when they're faced with obstacles, have no one that they can turn to. That would be my encouragement, that we would all find someone or cultivate the kind of relationships that will allow us to have someone that we could turn to for help.
Yeah. You know, and I was talking with someone, in fact, this morning, and they said, I'm really challenged by the fact that I can't plan for the future. Because I could do it.
Yeah.
I can do it. But why? The future as we know it today may be different tomorrow.
Interesting.
And so their growth challenge is, how do I appreciate today?
Yes.
And the fact that even in their work life, their position has changed. Maybe they were hired or brought on to do XYZ.
Yep.
Now they're being asked to do ABC.
Yep.
You know, Pastor Jeff, to bring this down to real life, I talk to so many people who are exhausted by not being able to know what the future looks like, exhausted by not being able to do what they're called to do because maybe they're stretched in a different capacity.
Uh-huh.
I saw this word, I'm still figuring out, acedic, A-C-E-D-I-C,
mm-hmm.
this combination of like anxiety, like you don't know where to go, but you gotta know, you gotta go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and so how do you live in a tension where tomorrow isn't clear, but you're driven to get to tomorrow?
Right.
I think people are just, I feel this, are just stretched in so many ways. And I think are also more detached from, you know, their spiritual life, if that's what a person engages with, or detached from a person, a personal mentor or a guide. I think we are under more stress and also less connected to our support systems.
Mm-hmm.
You are a pastor, you lead a church, you work in a high stress area geographically in our community. Do you see that as well? Is your experience back that up?
Oh, absolutely. I think since the onset of the circumstances we're in with the virus, I have purposefully not erased things from my calendar that have been canceled. I just changed the color of, just so, you know, for me, it was an opportunity contextually to look back and say, this was canceled, this was canceled, this was canceled. And if you're a planner, I'm a planner, it is defeating to be able to say, well, what can I rely on? Listening to you, I think three things come to mind. One is, how do we define ourselves? Do we define ourselves by our occupation or a specific role or title? And this is an opportunity to see ourselves apart from how we define ourselves. I think that leads into the second thought that comes to mind, is how do we, instead of thinking in that lane of that thing that has formerly defined us, or those things on the calendar that we found our value in or from or through, and how do we think differently about our circumstances? You know, maybe this is an opportunity for us to look in different ways or different places for meaning or for significance, and to look outside of the context of what formerly defined us. And then that's the third thing, is what are the little things that I can have an impact in today, apart from where I'm losing meaning or have lost significance in the past?
We're with Pastor Jeff Logsdon, lead pastor of Hope City Church here in Tucson. For our weekly segment, we take a few minutes every week to step back from all the politics and policy and news and issues, because we know people want to kind of get back out of the trenches for a minute and just process the big picture.
Sure.
And we hope that this is helpful, whether you are a person of faith or not. Our first part of every conversation, we land in Proverbs, kind of these words of wisdom for weird times, Pastor Jeff. The book of Proverbs has some tough love for people who do not look for or heed good advice. So we set the table. We said, this is a time where you need people in your life who can provide advice, who you can talk to. Here's what that looks like. If people don't do that, what is the word that that Proverbs uses for those people? Maybe some of us listening out there.
The word is fool. I don't know if that carries the same weight today when we have other expletives that we can land on, but you know, the definition of a fool is someone who hears wisdom and ignores it, someone who perhaps acts like a know-it-all. There have been moments where I want to believe I'm a know-it-all, but I listen to myself from a different perspective. And it's like, you don't have all the answers, Jeff. I need to listen more than I talk, and pay attention to the advice of the people around me, and realize constructive criticism is not a personal attack. Constructive criticism, if listened to correctly, can be the very thing that sharpens me, that helps me to take that feedback and to grow personally. And I think this is a time that we're in where that constructive criticism is all around us. Would we be open to it? Would we not be foolish? And would we choose to grow personally?
Good words, wisdom for weird times, Pastor Jeff. And just like that, part one of our weekly conversation, I think that wraps it up pretty well. We're going to go to our first break here. of the hour. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Pastor Jeff, our faith and culture contributor here on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice, making sense of a often senseless world. Again, we've gotten some great feedback, Pastor Jeff. Neither you or I really knew how this would be received.
Right.
We knew it had to be done. We knew that we needed moments where we can step back a little bit. It's been received so well and really encouraged by our listening community here on Tipping Point for the value that this is bringing. When we come back, want to be a fly on the wall of something else that you're working through with your congregation
Sure. Over
at Hope City Church, Pastor Jeff. Let's go to that first break. We'll be right back and continue. Bottom of the hour, Brendan Lyons, candidate for Arizona House Legislative District 9, is our guest coming up to talk about his campaign and platform here in LD9. We'll be right back. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Tucson, welcome back. Part two of our conversation with Pastor Jeff Locks and our faith and culture contributor here on Tipping Point. Every week we take a few minutes away together, our man of the cloth here in shorts and a t-shirt, to process these senseless times, wisdom for weird times, what we call it. We kick off with a proverb and we continue from there. Real quick, also want to shout out one of our partners and supporters and sponsors of this show, Shanae. Over at HR Resolve. It is her birthday today. Shanae, if you're listening, happy birthday to you.
She's a great lady.
She is. Have a great year ahead. Thanks for all you do for the community. Thanks for your support of this program. Just you're awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Happy birthday out there. So, and Jeff just gave you one too.
The shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot that all three of us know each other. That's pretty cool. So we like to also get in your head a little bit, Pastor Jeff. You lead a faith community here called Hope City Church in Tucson. And we like to kick off with a short proverb and then continue with what are you working through with your community? What happens on Sundays as you gather to whatever extent? What are you guys working through?
Yeah, this last week, Neil, one of our leaders from the community led a great message connected to what I'm calling a burning bush moment. Maybe you're familiar with the account of Moses from the Old Testament. Maybe you saw the movie from the 50s, I guess, is when it was made. But it's this interesting excerpt from Exodus 3 where Moses witnesses this burning bush. Essentially, God chooses him at this moment to lead Israel out of captivity, a crazy time. And as he invites Moses into this, Moses is like, pick somebody else, anybody else, and begins what seems to be this banter dialogue with God and tries to get out of it. I'm not a good speaker orator. And he's like, Aaron, your brother can help you. And
he has a stutter, right?
He's not letting him pass the buck. And
like, be an orator.
Yeah.
I stink at it.
I know. Yeah. I know. We have friends in the city that have a stutter. They're phenomenal leaders.
Yes.
So I think the point is this.
Church has one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I was just thinking there are excuses that we want to make for our circumstances right now. And the excuse cannot be the thing that keeps us back from experiencing the blessings that God has for us. What is your burning bush moment? You know, in this context, we're thinking about God's invitation to Moses, but the outcome of that was leading the nation of Israel to the promised land, ultimately, is where it led. And so, you know, maybe that calling comes directly from God if you're a person that is in that place right now in a season of your life. But beyond that direction, who are the people that are placed around us that we can be a blessing to right now? Have you ever had an inclination to do something for someone that you couldn't explain, only to find out that when you acted on it, it was exactly what they needed in that time? And it seemed like a divine appointment, if you will.
Right. Yeah. What's the further application of that? How have you been encouraging your faith community to act on that? What are some examples? Or,
well, I think right now there's so many things. It could be helping a child with his or her homework, or it could be helping a neighbor with the utility bill for those of us who aren't in those dire financial circumstances, helping someone who's looking for work to make a connection to find work. It doesn't have to be monetary. Maybe you're at the gas station and you notice someone across the way from you and you feel led to go over and to pay for their gas. There's so many applications, but I think my hope as we're talking about this is to inspire those listening to this broadcast to look at the people around you, take notice of their circumstances, engage in what I would call the burning bush moment. Moses in that second sees the bush on fire and he's like, this is amazing. And I think there are people around us that are placed in our paths for us to be able to be a blessing to them and to be an encouragement to them. You might be discouraged as you're listening to this right now. I promise you, when you extend a hand to the people around you, it will encourage you in that moment of discouragement if you choose to stretch your hand out and be a blessing to someone else.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, this wasn't necessarily on the agenda, so to speak, but you know, I'm always excited to see how Hope City Church as an organization, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about people to people right now. This is kind of an individual call to action that you're making.
Yep.
But as an organization, I feel like your church does a lot to live this out. Stepping back from just the individual piece, what are some of the initiatives that Hope City Church is helping to support or grow in the city during this time that relate to this?
Two things come to mind. One, this Thursday, the Tucson Police Department on the east side of town has invited Hope City to be a location to be able to facilitate their third conversation with the African American community, simply just listening to stories from our friends in the African American community to build bridges, relationship, trust in that area. So this Thursday at Hope City from 6 to 8, we're going to facilitate that third discussion. It was great to be a part of the second one, encouraged by the things that are happening in our community. Another one, which we may not be aware of, on November 15th It's a Sunday. I think there's two different times happening, but there's probably 15 churches at least all throughout the city of Tucson that are getting outside of the four walls of their campus and doing serve projects in the community to be able to bless the community. So I think three of those are going to happen at Hope City on that day, including making this is going to sound weird, but they're going to take toilet paper and wrap it in a handkerchief, and they're calling it like a pumpkin of sorts, but it's a gift to be able to hand out to people who are homeless that need something simple as toilet paper. Not too long ago, that would have been like a hot ticket, right? But they're making care kits for the homeless, and they're also doing blankets for people who are battling cancer that need blankets. And multiple churches throughout the city are doing these different projects to be able to bless the community. It's neat to see how Tucson works together cross-denominationally to be able to bless the community.
Right. And that's what it's about. The other thing too, if I can bring it up, I hope it's okay. A mutual friend of ours, she's been on the show as well, Desiree Cook.
Yes.
IMU 360, an organization that helps young people who are kind of out on the streets or underserved by their family or community. They've started a tiny house effort that I understand is kind of in your orbit.
Yes.
To provide housing for young people who don't have it. Housing is so critical.
Yep.
And it's just really cool to see organizations and the faith community step up in these real ways. We often, I think, silo away churches into the spiritual or to the emotional.
Right.
But I think organizations, especially of faith, have always had and now more than ever have a role to be a partner in meeting real needs around community development and community revitalization.
Sure.
And so I know we've talked about this before, Pastor Jeff, but not everyone's able to listen every single time.
No, you're right.
But IMU 360 has started a tiny house effort in Tucson. Super cool.
If you get to see the plans for that, it's amazing. I know right now the prayer is for the funding and the timing of the funding, but it's going to be a really neat project investing in future generations in our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Jeff, I guess the best way to end here is you've mentioned, hey, who are you getting advice from?
Uh-huh.
And how are you inputting into the community right now and meeting needs that exist?
Sure.
You and Hope City Church could be that outlet for someone listening. So I guess the best way to end is how does someone get a hold of you and chat with you if they want to follow up on this conversation?
Find us at HopeCityChurchTucson.com.
Perfect. Pastor Jeff, we took a break last week, one of those crazy five-week months. Good to have you back. Thanks
back
again for helping us make sense of senseless times a little bit. Again, encouragement for those of you, whether you are a part of a faith community or not, whether you are a person of faith or not, we hope this is an encouraging time to step back from the craziness and just process things at 30,000 feet.
Yes.
We're all in the weeds right now. So we appreciate helping us through these moments here. Pastor Jeff Loxton, lead pastor of Hope City Church.
Thanks, Zach.
We'll see you next week, Pastor. And Tucson and Southern Arizona, we'll see you back in just a minute or two. Brendan Lyons, Republican candidate for Arizona's House's Legislative District 9, will be on here in just a minute when we come back through the balance of the hour. Our next political conversation with a candidate. Don't go away.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, welcome back, and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yen, so you're listening to Tipping Point, if you just joined us, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We kicked off our hour with our man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt, our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton of Hope City Church. We now turn the page to our candidate conversation that will take us through the balance of the hour. It's with Brendan Lyons. He's a Republican running for Arizona House of Representatives in Legislative District 9. We've had him on before. This is our last conversation with him, most likely before the election in November. So let's get into it. Brendan Lyons, good morning, sir. Welcome on the air. How are you?
Hey, Zach. So good to hear from you again. I'm doing really well and really excited about this race.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this conversation. So you've been in long enough and you've been on the show before. Most people listening probably know about you and your campaign, but let's just cover the bases before we get into the nitty gritty here about your platform. Give us the 2-minute version of why Brendan jumped into the race and give us kind of the highlights of your vision and platform for Legislative District 9. And before you do that, Brendan, where is LD9 for any of our listeners who may live there and may not know they live there?
Zach, thank you for asking that. LD9 geographically, at its baseline, is from Speedway between Campbell and Craycroft. At Speedway and Craycroft, if you head northeast up to Sabino Canyon to include Tucson Country Club, then you head west across the foothills to I-10. That is the makeup of this district. Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. Sorry. And sorry, I threw you kind of like a triple decker sandwich of a question there, Brendan. But I did want to have a chance for you to share kind of what was your tipping point again, what got you into this race, the quick story of Brendan, and then what is your vision and platform for this district? We'll go from there.
Thank you, Zach. Yes, I'm a former firefighter who often responded to the tragic consequences of distracted driving, compelled me to launch a nonprofit here in Southern Arizona through an organization called Look Save a Life, which promotes the safety and awareness of all who utilize our public roads. In a twist of irony, a year after launching that organization, I went out for a bike ride with my girlfriend on the morning of her birthday, and a motorist at 45 miles an hour looked down at his cell phone to see who was calling, dripped in the bike lane, struck us both from behind. Since then, I worked with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to champion Arizona's distracted driving law. I've helped numerous jurisdictions around our state in adopting ordinances on this issue to include Pima County, City of Tucson, and Oro Valley. And finally, in a bipartisan effort, working both with Republicans and Democrats, Governor Ducey signed my bill into law in April 2019. Throughout that time, I studied at the University of Arizona. I graduated with a master's in public administration, focusing in collaborative governance. And that's upon graduating, I said, hey, what's next? And let's throw my hat in the ring. So a couple of my priorities, I deeply care about, obviously, as a former firefighter, improving public safety. We need to protect those who protect us. I care about improving infrastructure. I want to make sure that Southern Arizona gets its fair share for roadway improvements. Care about a quality, low-cost healthcare system that includes pre-existing conditions and lowers prescription drugs. Deeply care about improving education. Arizona lags way behind the nation on education, and wanting to see our teacher pay get increased to the national median. I want to improve literacy among third graders and our lower elementary grades. And I want to bring back jobs and rebuild our economy. I've been endorsed by the Tucson Metro Chamber, many law enforcement and public safety entities, and as well as the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association.
Brendan Lyons, again, candidate, Republican candidate for Arizona's Legislative District 9. Kind of maybe a last question before we go to a break, and then we'll dive in on a few of these priorities. Would love to get inside your head on these a little bit. But I heard this assessment the other day, and I'm curious what you think. Should you sit in the seat in the fall as the legislature gathers? It will really be the first time the legislature gathers fully in person since really the spring of this year. And certainly the main response will be to COVID-19, how the state continues to respond. Should you sit in that seat, Brendan, and you get asked, what do we do about COVID and public health? Do we open? Do we reopen? Do we do it faster? Do we do it slower? How do we balance public health and economic health? What does legislator Brendan Lyons in that seat say? How would you differ from maybe what has or hasn't happened in the state so far?
Well, seeing the trend on COVID, I mean, obviously, we need to look at this from a healthcare standpoint as well as an economic standpoint. And seeing the trend, I want to look at bringing back jobs and rebuilding our economy. I mean, this is many people are out of work on this. We're seeing the trends be much more favorable to opening up our workforce again. And I frankly want to see students getting back in the classroom. You know, I myself with a master's degree, I served much better in in-person learning myself. And as long as we can do so in a safe manner, I'm very supportive of that effort.
Yeah, Brendan, locally here at TUSD in your parts in your district, just last night decided to continue to push off hybrid learning, which would involve an in-person component, maybe to as late as November. Would you be urging businesses and school districts and the like to start to reopen at this point, or are you favorable towards towards the kind of continued cautiousness? You mentioned kind of how the numbers are clarifying for you, and I just wanted to follow up. What would be your policy suggestions at this point for the state?
Absolutely. I would be supportive of a hybrid learning environment. There are many, many parents who want to see their kids going back to school. At the same time, those who feel uncomfortable, I support also if in the effort of safety and their own personal prerogative, offer platforms of in-person and hybrid, what's the word I'm looking for, the at-home learning opportunities where it's online for those who don't feel comfortable. But I think, you know, at this rate, I'm supportive of opening back up and having that hybrid platform.
We're with Brendan Lyons this morning. Brendan, I want to take a little bit and make an executive decision and go to break a little bit early here. We've set the table, who you are, what you're about, kind of the high-level stuff. When we come back from the break, I'd love to dive in with you at least on how we rebuild the economy, bring jobs to our region. How do we improve education? How do we improve our roads and infrastructure? These are priorities. And we'd love to dive into those with you a little bit more. And also, you are running against two legislators, two Democrats who have been in the state legislature for a bit now, and voters in your district will have a choice to vote between the three of you. The two winners will get to sit in the seats, the top two vote getters. So I'd love to hear how you think your policies and what you're working for are better suited to our state and to LD9 than your two competitors. Let's do that, Tom. We'll go to our quick break. We'll come back and leave plenty of time to talk about the issues with Brendan Lyons, Republican candidate for LD9 here in Tucson. We'll be right back. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Hey, Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. Boy, these hours fly faster and faster and faster. We're halfway through our conversation with Brendan Lyons. He is a first-time candidate running as a Republican here in Legislative District 9 here in Tucson for the Arizona House, running against two Democrats, Pamela Powers Hanley and Mr. Freese, Randy Freese, both who have been in the legislature for a term or more. Brendan, welcome back into the studio. How are you?
I'm doing well, Zach. I'm very grateful for being on your show and talking to your listeners.
Yeah. Looking forward to we've set this up so we can get into some details on at least three of your priorities here. I want to start with education. You mentioned a top goal is improving education. You mentioned that Arizona is ranked 45th in teacher pay and your desire to raise that to the national median. On many levels, we are near the bottom on education investment. Republicans, Democrats, and independents across the state want the state legislature to do more for state funding. But Republicans haven't been as ready as Democrats to make that investment. Why is that a priority of yours, Brendan? And how would you maybe do it differently than what you've seen out of the state legislature in recent years?
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Zach. Well, when it comes to K-12 education, it's something that's definitely lagging. When we invest in K-12, we're investing into our economy, and it certainly supports efficiency, productivity, creativity, and it promotes entrepreneurship. And as it pertains to our economy, I'm also care about improving workforce development and improving our trades, like our JTED programs, as well as our local community colleges, and gets people back into the workforce. Those are some of my views. I want to increase, as I said and before the break, increase literacy among all Arizona grade school students in order to meet the national average as well. Currently, we're ranked 45th in the nation.
Yeah. How... we've seen a variety of proposals over the years. We've seen, income tax be an option on the table. We've seen a combination of property tax, sales tax, and income tax being proposed. It's now gotten to a point where the citizens, Brendan, have decided to take this into their hands because the legislature hasn't moved quickly enough. What are some funding streams or innovative ways that you'd like to see education investment increase?
Absolutely. This is done by a couple of things. One, it stands for leadership and priority, and education is absolutely a priority when it comes to balancing the budget, making sure that these are one of my top three priorities that gets addressed. Currently, you're seeing a proposition on the table I'm sure you probably would ask about that, but what this does is it focuses on a certain demographic, those who make more than $250,000, and it kind of kicks the can to them. And, you know, these are our small to mid-sized business owners that would now be responsible for funding education throughout the state of Arizona. Well, you know, many of these people come to Arizona because of our low taxes and our economics. So, you know, this may open the door for us to lose a lot of these businesses to other states with low tax rates. One of the things I'd like to see, this was actually a proposal by a Republican Senator, Kate Brophy McGee, to a half-cent sales tax increase from a half-cent to a full penny, which would, bring about $1 billion to funding education throughout the state of Arizona. You know, I see this as a responsibility of every one of us, not just a certain demographic of our state economy. So that's one of the things I'd like to see. But it comes down to two things, priority and leadership.
Brendan Lyons, I had a county supervisor candidate on the show yesterday. On this show, Brendan, if I'm ever at a loss for content or words, I have to say two things, Brendan, on the air. Roads and infrastructure, or Grant and Al Vernon. Those two things are guaranteed to fill up an hour with caller engagement and questions and comments. I love it. But roads are a big deal down here. You know that better than anybody, Brendan. What are some of your thoughts on how we create better investment and better roads and infrastructure?
Absolutely. Well, as a champion of public safety on our roads, I mean, much is needed to address this issue. I mean, people are drawn to Arizona by our sunshine and cultural history and open space vistas. But when it comes to funding, Pima County is not getting its fair share for roadway funding as it pertains to our infrastructure. We have what's called a HERF policy in Arizona, and because Pima County is so largely unincorporated, we see few of those dollars back to Southern Arizona. And I like to make sure to review our current state funding models to make sure Southern Arizona is getting its fair share. We need to invest in safer roads and highways and protect cyclists and pedestrians and our vulnerable road users. You know, those are some of my priorities that I'd like to see addressed, and at least from the state level. Now, which roads get improved? You mentioned Grant and Al Vernon. That's up to our local electeds.
Yeah, Brendan, I do want to leave time as well to talk about one of your other priorities. I think I've heard you discuss it in terms of bringing back jobs and rebuilding the economy. Before I go there, I wanted to ask you just a quick question. Had a listener message this in while we were talking. I think it's a good question. A big topic up at the state ledge, Brendan, is raising the gas tax as a way to create more investment funding in roads and infrastructure. Should that come across your desk if you sit in the seat here in the fall going forward, would you be in favor of raising the gas tax? Is that an option?
Well, we need to look at our gas tax. Is it sustainable with our hybrid vehicles and moving toward electronic vehicles and electric vehicles? Is that something that's sustainable over time? I'd have to work with stakeholders on this issue. Right now, I'm not in a position to say if I'm in tune of raising the gas tax, but I do want to find sustainable solutions for long-term goals.
Brendan, thank you for letting me quick go back to that. Okay, now to jobs and rebuilding the economy. We've got about 4.5 minutes, Brendan. Site selectors across the country are going to make business relocation, business growth moves. They're looking at Tucson specifically and places like Tucson to preen business and jobs. Post-COVID-19, Brendan, what is your strategy for job creation and economic rebuilding here going into 2021?
Well, I think it's no secret that Arizona's been a leader in job growth and owning businesses and starting businesses easier here than any other country. It's because of our pro-business legislators, and when we have that that sort of friendly environment to grow businesses, then we're also growing jobs, which increases our tax base to fund things like education or, you know, more population for increasing public safety funding and things like that. We need to reduce the cumbersome regulations that impose businesses that impose burdens on small businesses that limit potential job growth. I'm anyone who's heard me speak, a huge proponent of Rio Nuevo and what they've done for the revitalization of downtown. One of my opponents, she was lobbying against the renewal of the CBD, which was a central business district. And I think we need to offer opportunities to see growth. And that's something I'm a huge proponent for. And frankly, that's why I believe that I was endorsed by the Tucson Metro Chamber.
Brendan, let's finish this way, and you segued to it already. Voters will vote in two of the three of you. The top two vote getters will take the two seats available in Legislative District 9. Pamela Powers Hanley, Randy Freese, both Democrats, and you as a Republican in Legislative District 9. 2.5 minutes, Brendan. Give us a compare and contrast as voters are looking at their ballot, maybe even right now, and are figuring out who to vote for. Why should they vote for you in the mix? How do you compare and contrast with the other two candidates in your mind?
Well, I will say that as a citizen and as a former firefighter, I did bring Republicans and Democrats together to pass life-saving legislation. That is on that distracted driving bill. I've worked really well with others. And one of my opponents was, in fact, Dr. Randall Freese, who is a residing trauma surgeon at my own crash. I've reached out to him on these issues. He reached back to me. And, as a Republican working with a Democrat, he was supportive of these initiatives. Frankly, one of the other candidates, Pamela Powers Hanley, she was rated the worst legislator by the Tucson Metro Chamber. She never passed a bill and voted against bills to fund K-12 education. Both Dr. Freese and I have both been endorsed by the Tucson Metro Chamber. She has not. Dr. Freese and I have been endorsed by several different law enforcement agencies. We've both successfully passed legislation, and we're known for working with others. So I think that really tells the voters of who can actually work together to get things done for Southern Arizona and our state. That's a little bit of the makeup.
Brendan, your website for anyone who wants to follow up, volunteer, donate to your campaign?
It's lions4az.com, and that's LYONS, the number 4, az.com. Zach, thank you so much for having me on your show. This is going to be a very interesting race from top to bottom. I just hope that many of you listeners get out there, vote. Don't just vote party line. Learn about the candidate. Get involved. Thank you so much.
Brendan, thank you. Good luck out there. Less than 30 days. We'll see you around, and best of luck.
Thank you, Zach.
Tucson, that does it for our conversation with Brendan Lyons, a Republican candidate for Arizona House of Representatives, Legislative District 9, here, much of Tucson. Much of the district is here right in the city of Tucson. That is it for our show today. When we come back, we'll talk with Cindy Winston tomorrow, Thursday, a candidate for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. And that's just to get us started. See you tomorrow, Thursday, October 8th. Until then, take care, Tucson. Stay healthy. Stay well.